Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Masters Thursday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, early break. Bill Bush out today. He's back on Monday. We missed Bill. He texted us. He texted a rating. He texted 4.4 for Rick Hayman's song today.
Oh, my God.
4.4.
I didn't see that.
Yep, he
Bill.
Texted a 4.4.
That's low.
I gave it a 6-something. You gave it a 7-something.
Yeah, Bill, that's low. Would I have guessed that from Bill on that song?
I would, maybe. Yeah, well, it's not like the most energetic song. I would say 5 for Bill, but we went 4-4, so it's about right. It's about right.
Bill's interesting. I mean, there's some, like, he's out on Petty.
That saddens me, by the way.
Don't be saddened by that.
No, because you and I both love Tom Petty. I played a lot of Tom Petty on these airwaves. We had a lot of talks about Tom Petty over the years.
Yeah, Bill's got an interesting, taste in music.
He does.
It's good. We do miss Bill. He'll be back Monday.
He's back Monday. He's just gone temporarily.
We'll have coffee talk on Monday.
We will have coffee talk. Yeah. By the way, Hour 2 sponsored by our friends at Midwest Bank. Member FDIC, location in South Lincoln at 27th and Jamie Lane, now also open at 70th and Pioneers. As I said yesterday, Steve Schindler off to this week also because he's planning with Bill for next week's activities.
Oh, is that what's going on?
Shin Daddy's, you know, he's taking the week off with Bill.
They're planning next week.
Yeah, they're getting all stuff you know, planned for the bank.
For the bank in Creighton.
Right.
In the northern part of
the state. I would assume that Steve Schindler's also watching the Masters today, probably.
I suppose.
He's a decent man.
You assume everybody is.
Because they should.
You've dubbed this Masters Thursday.
It is Masters Thursday. That is proper.
I guess.
Proper.
All right. We have a special guest.
For the first time in at least like 2 months, we are joined now by our friend, our Thursday guest, Mike Schaefer, 24/7 Sports. Schaefer, good morning. It's great to have you. Would you be okay with me dubbing this as Masters Thursday?
Okay. Say that again. I didn't catch the very end of that.
Okay.
Would I be okay if what happened?
If we are dubbing today as Masters Thursday. Sip has a problem with that, apparently.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's okay. I was like, what did I just hear? Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm still catching up on sleep for the last 2 months.
That's okay, Schaefer.
I hope you don't mind me doing this. I haven't congratulated Mike on the recent addition to their family, Hudson. So congratulations, Michael. I never texted you. I did it purposely because I wanted to do this on air. Hudson.
I appreciate that. Now I can cross your name off the list of people who have yet to congratulate me. There's still about 16 people left. They know who they are. They're going to stay on that list until I get that congratulation.
Hudson is an incredible name.
It is a great name.
Jake had it on the rundown. I was like, oh, God, that's a good one. Hudson.
James Schaefer.
Yeah.
That's a name right there, Schaefer.
That is
you nailed it.
Yeah, you stuck the name. Good job.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Well, we're curious, Schaefer, in terms of, we know you've been busy the last couple months, obviously, with Hudson and the duties of being a new father. But in general, spring football is rolling on. I'm curious, Schaefer, how locked in have you been into practice as well as into recruiting the last couple months for Nebraska football?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I mean, it hasn't been the easiest to just seamlessly dive back into all of it. But, you know, obviously, this might surprise you guys. There's a fair amount of media that covers Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And even the spring, which, you know, isn't the most important thing in the world, though we cover it like it is. It is relatively easy for me to follow what's going on. And it is it's a pretty fascinating spring in its own right with the freshman quarterbacks. And you have Heinrich Harburg there. You have all of that going on. You know, we're in our, 10th straight year of Nebraska not really having a running back.
Mm.
And so we get to have that conversation
right
throughout the spring. And so, you know, there's that, but the wide receiver situation is fascinating to me as well, because I think they have so many unique options, and it just feels a lot deeper than it did last year. I think that's a position that definitely feels like it's going to make a jump in a really good way. And then we spent a lot of time in previous years talking about the offensive line and the defensive line, and quietly, those are probably your pillars of your team going into 2024, which is exactly how you want it most years. And so it's, you know, when you get a chance to kind of wade back into it and you look at it, and you can see how the foundation of the roster has kind of been built in a way that they can move forward and build off of last year's success and put themselves in a position to move forward as a program, which is what you want. And I think the spring has kind of played out that way too.
Michael Schaefer joins us from 24/7 Sports Nebraska. And you covered the recruitment of Ja'Cory Barney to a certain extent. Ja'Cory Barney, Mike, I didn't know that Ja'Cory Barney would arrive on the scene and make this sort of buzz this early. Did you anticipate that? And what is your recollection of the Ja'Cory Barney recruiting process?
Yeah, I'm gonna toot my own horn here. He was number two for me on the Super Six. I actually thought, you know, outside of Dylan Raiola, he was the second most fascinating early enrollee because of what he could provide. And so the reason I was excited about Ja'Cory Barney is he was one of those guys that was asked to do everything in high school. I mean, he played wide receiver, kick returner, defensive back, quarterback, running back. You know, I'm sure they had other ways that they utilized him as well, but the idea of someone like that with that much talent that gets to focus on just one position and really kind of gets to hone in and you know, ply his craft in one way, I feel like those guys tend to do really well when they get to just lock in on something. And he was someone that throughout his recruiting process, I feel like Nebraska was a little bit on edge if they weren't going to be able to keep him. He silently committed when he visited last June. I think he was the June 2nd official visitor, and his mom loved it. They fell in love with the place, and so he committed, but he wasn't going to announce it until a month later. Well, inside that month, he ends up going to this camp at Miami. Miami hadn't offered him. He's a Miami kid, and they hadn't offered him yet. He just blows up. Like, he's the best player at this campus, full of future five stars. And he is dominating. And so Miami offers, they get him on campus several times for visits. But in the background, Garrett McGuire is just going to work. And so Garrett McGuire did a really nice job recruiting on Nebraska's behalf. Phillip Simpson, when he was involved with Nebraska, was involved in that recruitment a lot too. And I remember going into that decision on July 2nd, like, it was a real 50-50. Nobody in our network felt comfortable really even putting their name on anything.
Wow.
And, you know, it was one of those rare recruitments where there's a real wild card aspect to it. And I had gotten word Nebraska had closed the deal, and they were able to do it. They got that commitment, and it shocked a lot of people. And then they held it. And I think that's also, you know, Coach Bush can talk about this too. Getting the commitment is just half the battle. Holding the commitment then becomes the real part of it. And you go through the struggles that you did in the passing game last year, and Arizona gets back in the mix. Miami's in the mix. All these other teams still like them, but they were able to maintain and keep Ja'Cory Barney. And I think it's really going to pay off, you know, as early as this year.
In general, also, Schaefer, I mean, Nebraska's added Jamal Banks, Isaiah Nayer. Now, last year was a struggle at receiver. There wasn't really any much big plays. You had a couple. Malachi had a couple big plays, but in general, you didn't have reliable wide receivers. I mean, how different is that look this year to you with what you hear from what you've seen from practice and what you've seen with your own eyes from these guys?
Yeah, I think it's exciting because you have Jamal Banks and Isaiah Nayer, who have both had good seasons in their career. Nayer is a little bit more of a wild card. You don't know exactly what you're going to get there because it's been a couple years. I think 2021 was his big blow up with Wyoming. 22, he had the injury. And then last year, Texas was so loaded, it was pretty hard for him to see the field. But I think he provides a veteran presence that can help you. What I like, and I know we've talked about it on this show in the past, these are bigger guys. I mean, I felt last year, you know, Billy Kemp, they liked him for what he was. They liked him for how he could help the room. But it's really hard to throw a slant pass to a 5'7" wide receiver in the Big Ten.
Amen.
I mean, I think when we watched him in that Minnesota game, and I think it was Tyler Newbin that was on him, most of that game, or they just draped him with these bigger defensive backs. It just became apparent he wasn't going to get himself open. And they didn't have a great plan to utilize him, I felt, throughout most of last year. And so I think these receivers fit better with what they want to do. Obviously, you're going to change your passing game element if Dylan Raiola is the guy in there. He's got a little bit more of a accurate arm than what they were going to have with Heinrich Harburg. The strategy in passing changes. And then they also have guys like Demetrius Bell, who there's a lot of excitement for. Jaden Doss, who we didn't get to see enough of last year. Jalen Lloyd, who's, I'm sure, put in a ton of work in the offseason. You have Malachi Coleman and all that upside. And the rest of these freshmen. And then you have the tight end. The passing game is really fun to me. It's a big what if when you think about Nebraska for 2024. But they're in a much better situation than they were last year.
Michael Schaefer joins us. Isn't it interesting, this market, Michael? You mentioned Demetrius Bell. We are 8 practices into spring, and he's yesterday's news because of the emergence of Ja'Cory Barney. This place is amazing. This place is remarkable.
Well, you know as well as anybody does that the spring cycle. What was it? A couple days ago, Maurice Mazzucca was the talk of the town as the potential running back in a position where, you know, being the guy in the spring hasn't really worked out for anybody in the fall. So, but Demetrius Bell, though, I can't remember the situation entirely. I don't know that he would have been academically eligible to play last year.
Right.
So I think it was a situation where he was tearing it up on scout team. And I know Brian Christopherson and Michael Brunts were collecting quotes from the defensive players that were talking about how difficult he was to cover. So I think they went into this spring with some real intrigue about what he could do. But he was kind of a bit of an unknown for everybody else. But that was a late addition, I want to say, second part of the signing cycle that they got out of Nashville, that there was some real excitement for, but you knew you were at least a year away from when he was going to be able to help the team.
Yeah, Ja'Cory Barney and Demetrius Bell, one's a freshman, one's a redshirt freshman. They're almost the exact same size. They're littler guys, 6'1", 170. Okay, we've buried the lead enough here. What?
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The quarterback. You know, the quarterbacks are under the microscope always, especially this spring because of circumstances. What have you been able to ascertain about, we'll call it, that race? You know, Dylan Raiola and Daniel Kalen in particular.
I mean, I haven't put a lot of brain power into it, Steve. It's going to be, to me, it's going to be Dylan Raiola until there's some reason that it's not.
Yeah.
And that would seem to be a health thing. And I like Daniel Kalen a lot. I think it's big that they were able to keep him from going somewhere else last December. But I think he's a guy that's going to need a red shirt. He's a guy that I think it would behoove him to get a lot of time behind the scenes of working with Glenn Thomas and putting in the film study and continuing to get bigger and stronger. Because that's what he did as a sophomore when he wasn't the starter at Bellevue West. And then he shows up for his junior year and he rips up Class A defenses to the tune of 38 touchdowns. And, it was fantastic. He had a little bit of a struggle senior year, but had some protection issues there and some injuries. But he's a guy that I think still needs some time. And so I don't really view him as a ready-made, ready-to-play option. I'm sure, I saw all the commentary of how he looked the other day in the open portion of practice, and that's great, but I just think the reality is he's probably not likely going to be able to step onto the field and drive you, 75 yards for a score if you need it. I just don't know that he's at the level that Dylan is, mentally and physically to be able to handle that aspect, that jump from Class A football in Nebraska to being a starting quarterback. So I view him more as a long-term thing. But it's great that he's on track with it. And he's a guy that's just going to go to work. He's someone that I think there's so much value if you can keep him happy at Nebraska, because eventually you're going to need him. And I think eventually he's going to pay off. And you want to be there for that payoff.
I think there's a somewhat, we're going to switch sides of the ball here, Michael. I think it's somewhat dangerous conversation out there that I think we assume there's an assumption that Nebraska's defense will be better this season. Are you assuming that? Is that an assumption in your mind?
No, because I think last year there was some benefit to how down the Big Ten West was across the board offensively. I mean, I don't know that it's going to be the same. Obviously, the Big Ten West, as we know it, doesn't exist anymore. The schedule is going to be slightly different. But I think overall, the grouping, statistically, they might not be as good. But I think that they have earned the trust of certainly the coaches and then, you know, themselves, but also the fans. Like, I expect them to be good. I don't know that I expect them to be dominant. It is sort of how I would categorize that. But I'm excited about what they have. I mean, I'm excited about that defensive line in particular. You know, it feels in a lot of ways kind of the similarity to where this wide receiver room is headed, where they're just kind of stocking some talent. We're going to see some guys break out. You know, in that wide receiver room, we saw some guys break out in Ty Robinson and Nash Hubmaker last year. And then there's guys behind them. You got Sua Lopotu, and you have Riley Van Poppel and others that are going to be big players for you this year that were getting reps, important reps, last year as true freshmen. I mean, how many times was it we'd find out after the fact, or you'd see them on the field and you'd hear about it after the fact, you know, Riley Van Poppel was instrumental in some of these fourth down stops as an extra defensive lineman. Like, they got valuable playing time out of their 2023 experience. Some of these guys are going to take a nice step, and they're going to have a good defensive line. I worry a little about that second level. I don't know what that exactly is going to look like, replacing Luke Reimer or Nick Henrich and some of the veterans that you have there. You know, but Mekhi Bayer has the athleticism that I think he can replace Luke Reimer. And then we'll see where Stephon Thompson finds himself. And then in the secondary, I think they have a lot of intriguing pieces, and I think that'll come together pretty well. But the one guy, I haven't been over there for the open portion. One guy that keeps coming up in the Husker 24/7 chat circles is Bly Hill, and just his overall size and what that might look like.
Yeah.
You know, opposite of Tommy Hill, who finished year fantastic.
Schaefer, in regards to recruiting, we're 16 days away from the spring game. Are you expecting a flurry of commitments coming up? Or what does the rest of the month look like for Nebraska in terms of recruiting?
Yeah, you know, the shocking thing is when I went away, I think Nebraska had three commitments. I came back to have three commitments. I was a little surprised by that. And so I think there's going to be a lot of activity. They've had a lot of visitors in already in March and early April here for practices. They're using the spring game for official visits for the first time. I think there's going to be some local guys that are likely to make decisions here sooner than later. A lot of it has kind of fallen into this. If you aren't committed before you get to April, chances are you're trying to at least get to June to take some of these official visits. Nebraska's moved their calendar up earlier than what we've seen from previous coaching staffs to take advantage of that spring game and to have official visitors for that. So I would anticipate the commitments are going to start happening here. I continue to wonder if they're going to take as big of a class as they did last year. Because I just don't know. I mean, as many guys as they like on this roster, they're still going to have an exodus of players when it comes to the transfer portal. So a lot of it's going to be dictated by how young this roster is and how many of these guys they want to see through into the next year for how many recruits they ultimately take in this 2025 class.
Schaefer sounds energized to me. Man, Schaefer, that's good job. Good job.
You know, you're talking to actual adults instead of just you know, your 8-week-old son.
Hudson.
There's a lot more that you could say here. Hudson doesn't understand the concepts of recruiting at this point.
One of these days, I'm going to call and ask for Hudson.
Yes, Hudson around, please. I don't need Mike. I need Hudson, please. Schaefer, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk to you soon, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Wow. Mike Schaefer, 24/7 Sports. Always a fountain of information.
Tell me he didn't sound energized.
He sounded energized.
He had good information about Ja'Cory Barney. Ja'Cory Barney and Demetrius Bell are definitely guys to watch in that receiver core, that expanding receiver core, that expanding group of, well, to say names that are kind of presenting themselves to us. It's a good thing. I mean, you know, Jake, we've done this show 8 years. How often have I harped on the receiver core not being big enough, not being good enough, right?
It's an everyday conversation.
Well, not just every day.
Every day.
But Michael is more, Michael Schaefer is a little more critical of the running back room.
He said it's been 10 years since they've had a good running back.
Well, I think they've had good
I think Ozigbo back. Was good.
Yeah, he averaged 7 yards.
He had a 1,000-yard season.
Yeah, he had a 1,000-yard season, averaged 7 a carry that year. But, see, this is where I always talk about how I feel as a media group, as a fan base, we've sort of lowered our standards in a very low-key way. Like, we bring up Divine Ozigbo. Well, what's Ozigbo done in the NFL?
He was a fringe NFL player for years.
That doesn't get you where you need to be.
Nope.
Ozigbo was good. He was fine. He was better than fine for a year. But if you're going to get to Michigan level, you need a Blake Corum, and you need a guy behind him that can do serious damage. Why can't Nebraska be that program? The answer is this. It can. It can be that program. But it's sort of interesting to me that we've kind of let that conversation slide a little bit. Don't.
Thanks again to Mike Schaefer. Wonderful stuff from 24/7 Schaefer. Sports. He's energized.
Did he not sound energized?
He sounded good. He even said, that was fun. Thanks. Texted me that. That was fun.
Yeah.
God good to have him. Schaefer back.
Yeah, he was excellent.
When we come back, Bill's Thrills, cool parenting tips Thursday on Early Break on The Ticket.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.